Hi, this is Dave Pryor. Welcome to Leading Agile's Sound Notes. This is one of the podcasts that we put out with the coaches and the other thought leaders that work at Leading Agile to talk about things that are going on in the Agile space and different questions people write in or send in from classes and things like that or different engagements that we have. And Isaac Hoag, who is a Agile coach, what's your official title, Isaac?
I think it changes by the moment. No, I'm just kidding. It's Enterprise Transformation Consultant.
Okay, Enterprise Transformation Consultant slash really long distance runner who gets a mohawk and dyes his hair. do you want to talk a little bit about that just to give an explanation of why you have your hair dyed in a mohawk?
Yeah, absolutely. Once a year, I do exactly what you just said. I dye my hair bright orange, and I cut it into an official mohawk. It's the type of orange and the type of mohawk that it takes about 6 weeks to get rid of. I basically have to shave my head after the week is over and just wait for it to grow back. The reason I do that is because, it's been about 3 years now. 3 years ago, a good friend of mine named Brian Fraser caught my attention with something called Team World Vision. And what Team World Vision does is it basically brings people together to run these long endurance races. And it does it with the notion of standing in the gap for countries that basically have nothing with regard to water, with regard to the basic necessities of making life work. So what Team World Vision does is they take and they sign people up and they get them to commit to a basic fundraising goal and then run a race. And as a result, anywhere between 26 and 10,000 people typically will be provided with sustainable, clean water that lasts. World Vision's amazing in the way that it provides water. It's actually one of the few non-governmental organizations that provides water wells and water and other infrastructure solutions that last well into the multiple decades. So when studies come back in and look at how their wells are performing 30, 40 years later, it's pretty significant.
That's awesome. And it's a great way, it's a very good cause and a great way to justify a bizarre mohawk that you can show up to work with.
It really is. My boys love it. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So the reason that we're talking today is because next week you're going to be, or maybe a week and a half from now, you're going to be in Las Vegas at the BBC 2015 conference. It's Building Business Capability, and you're going to be talking about metrics.
That's right.
So your session, I want to make sure everybody knows, it's going to be November 5th. That's a Thursday at 9 a.m. And can you kind of give us an overview of what your topic's about?
Yeah, so one of the things that we oftentimes talk about at Leading Agile is this notion of in order for Agile to work, we have to have clarity, accountability, and measurable progress. And we talk about multiple ways of getting that in place, but one of the key things that we feel is really important is at the organizational transformation level, you have to have, in order for clarity to be in place, you have to have a well-defined value-aligned structure. You also have to have teams that are formed well that can create measurable progress through governance. And then finally, this last piece of it is that you have to be able to create organizational transformation metrics that demonstrate you're accomplishing the business drivers or the eventual goal of the transformation. And I've personally just found that area really interesting over the last 2.5 years. As I've played with some of the different metric capabilities that we had within Leading Agile, that some of the other coaches had, and then just generally looking out across the industry to try and say, how do we really tell that story well in a repeatable manner that we can establish a sort of system of metrics that we can bring to the transformations and directly connect back with the business drivers?
And what's the answer?
Well, it's a long answer.
Well, all right, so without giving the whole talk away.
No, that's okay.
You know, because some people, let's assume you're in Las Vegas and people get up before 9 o'clock in the morning because they went to bed at a reasonable hour. They didn't go out and do bad things to themselves.
Of course.
They didn't wake up in some strange hotel room with a baby and a tiger. what are some hints that you're going to focus on, or some ideas that you're going to focus on about the metrics that are most important to look at, especially if we're talking about things across the portfolio? Because that's a bigger, harder question.
You know, it's actually a little surprising because what I came to the conclusion is that there isn't a specific Agile metric necessarily that we go back and orient around. Instead, what I found is that this notion of using a balanced scorecard or something similar to it is really the ticket of saying, from an organizational transformation perspective, what's the goal? That would be your central business driver. So let's say it's like we want to have early ROI. Maybe we want to say that our quality needs to improve, and we want to make sure that we're predictable enough that we can make commitments in the marketplace. What that typically looks like is I'm a large company. Honestly, that's who we generally work with, mid to large companies. And I've been doing what I do really well for the past 10 years, maybe the past 20 years, maybe the past 100 years. And all of a sudden, I've got these little startups coming out of nowhere because it's suddenly easy to enter into this market space.
And they're drinking your milkshake.
And they're drinking my milkshake like crazy. And they're responding to the market in ways that I've never been able to respond to the market. And for me, I try to have like an iteration on something that I've been doing well for the most part over the last 20 years. And it takes me a year and a half to get that iteration out. They come up with a good idea and they can get it out within a month or less. And so I really need to be able to pivot at times and to respond to that marketplace demand with sort of fast learning and understanding how to keep adjusting my product market fit, but while also still being able to sustain my large customers that I have that are generally paying the majority of the income for our company and make commitments to them and be predictable and all the things that I need to be as a large company. So it's really challenging. And what I've found is that if we take those three sort of big areas, and again, each company will have their own unique ones. But if we take those three unique areas and we say, what are the strategic objectives essentially that are going to get us somewhere near or in the right ballpark of having early ROI? And what are the strategic objectives that are going to help us accomplish quality? What are the strategic objectives that are going to help us accomplish predictability? And so I might come up with something along the lines of, for fast ROI, I might say I have to orient on delivering the most valuable work early, right? So I need to fail fast, test the marketplace quickly. I might also orient myself around, let's see, you could probably come up with
something. Well, wait, hold on. I want to stick with that one for a second.
Yeah.
So because you're talking about value, which is sort of like nailing Jell-O to a wall a lot of the times because they think they know what value is, but value changes over time and everyone has a different perception. And if you say fail fast, what are they? I mean, I'm assuming you're not advocating for the idea of we're going to judge our success based on how many failures we have.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. We sort of do, right? So to really, truly understand our product market fit and understand if the marketplace is changing, to be able to capitalize on some new niche areas that we think are coming out, we really do have to sort of experiment.
So you're measuring how many experiments we're running?
Possibly. Something like that. Okay. Right? Yeah. There's what's funny about each of these is there's a lot of ways that you can eventually get to measuring it. At the end of the – yeah, go ahead.
You finish your thought. I'll go when you're done.
Yeah, what I was going to say is, but the key thing is picking some that we can consistently measure against and saying, here's the strategic goal we're trying to accomplish or the strategic objective we're trying to accomplish, right? So succeeding or failing fast. We want to make sure that we're constantly getting things into the marketplace, whether it's with a consumer study, whether it's a market research panel, or whether it's truly building a product and sticking it out and going, how did it behave?
So when you go into an organization, I mean, you're talking to folks at a fairly senior level. They want to know what to measure because we've told them, you know, the stuff you used to measure, we're not even capturing some of that anymore. So it's not right because that's waterfall or whatever. Now we're going to do things in a more agile or innovation-centric way, or maybe there's a blend and we need to know what to look at. And they're going to look to you to say, these are the things that you have to measure. And I'm assuming that part of your response – and maybe I'm wrong, but so I'm just assuming. Mm-hmm. Part of your response is you have these things. You could say, yeah, let's measure these 10 things, but you don't want to tell them those 10 things. You want to help them explore, like you said, what their goals are. But it almost gets to a point where what you're really saying is not it depends, but every single organization, what you measure can be completely different.
Absolutely.
Which drives the tool people crazy because they have to put all those reports in their tools.
You're spot on. So what's funny is oftentimes what I'll do is say it's a whole lot easier to start with what you're measuring today and look at any of those and see after we've identified what are the objectives we're trying to accomplish, what are the things that are in place today that would allow us to have some insights into that? Do we have any of those capabilities? Right? If we do, great, let's try and use them. Let's mature them or let's learn from them while we can build something better along the way. But without a doubt, one of the key things that we absolutely need to start being able to do is taking an insight from what they know about their space today already in regard to how long it takes them to do these things and trying to put a little bit of a pin in that and say, well, here's where we're starting. And if this is where we're starting, and we know that this is our objective, if we want to succeed or fail fast, or we want to deliver the highest value feature first, or streamline the delivery process to make sure we can accomplish early ROI, then what we'd want to do is we'd want to start looking at what are some specific measurements that we can use as strategic insights, basically, to say, here's the current state, and here's the improvement we'd like to make against current state by the end of this transformation.
So I think that's a really big deal, what you just said, because I think, at least my experience has been, a lot of the times people want to know how fast should it go, or how many of these do we have to do, like as if there's some bar where you're going to be like, hey, you just crossed the agile threshold, congratulations.
Right.
But it's really, you're always, and maybe this goes back to the idea of, it's not so much what you measure, it's that you're measuring anything, because as long as you're measuring against where you were yesterday, you can see where you know where you might want to go tomorrow.
That's exactly right. And you know, one of the key things for this really being a success anyway in my book is ensuring that you're really solving a true business problem. So if I'm talking with an organization, if I'm talking with an executive team, they don't have a good insight into what they're trying to solve for, they just want to be agile, it's probably not going to work. Right? they're probably they could
but their business problem is everyone's agile, so they have to be
that's
agile.
Right. That's right. So if that's the answer, then you know my gut check says you probably could just, you know, pretend like you're agile and call yourself agile and move on, right?
And that's a bigger thing that you're taking on there than just what do we measure, because it's helping them understand that maybe the questions they're asking are the wrong questions. Like right. They've always measured utilization, and maybe you're saying, well, utilization's not as big as some of the other stuff we could be looking at. What questions do you need to ask and drive decision making?
That's right. Yeah, you're spot on.
Do you see in the organizations that you're working with, is there a lot of hybrid work going on? I mean, do you see like traditional and agile in the same place? Or is it always about just moving it over to agile?
You know what's funny is I generally am of the perspective that everything, and I would call it more adaptive management techniques, right? Everything can move and would benefit from moving towards adaptive management techniques.
Okay.
What that looks like is some things still need a longer planning horizon, and some things we know more details about than other things, right? So some things we can be more certain in saying at granular levels, here's all the stuff we're going to get 3 months, 6 months from now. But generally speaking, with everything we do, even in launching rocket ships, we have to be adaptive. Right. We have to look at what's going on. Did we expect a piece of foam to hit the outside of the shuttle? Well, we might have thought it was possible, but no, we hoped it wouldn't happen, but it did. So how are we going to respond to it?
Yeah. So do you find that you need to have different scorecards for different parts of the organization, or are you kind of advocating for one holistic one for everybody?
You know, I think classic answer, it depends.
consultant time.
Exactly. Well, it really comes down to what's the business problem we're solving, right? Yeah. So I think at the broad enterprise level, they'll probably have a couple of scorecards they're looking at for key things they're trying to accomplish. And at the end of the day, we want to make sure that those scorecards roll into a overall scorecard that really helps them steer and manage and govern the business. But there's also a lot of that governing the business and steering the business is gut, right? There's gut and intuition that goes into it. And so so long as you have clarity at that, the leadership areas of the business, the scorecard is really about making sure that we're maintaining that context or the clarity around what are we trying to accomplish.
Yeah. You know, I made fun of you for saying it depends, but yeah. I think one of the things that's really interesting to me is like somebody like you walks in and your goal is not just to give them metrics, but to help them understand what questions to ask and what the metrics they need are. And people bag on, you know, make fun of consultants all the time for saying it depends, but a lot of the times when you walk in the door and you're like, let's explore the problem, like, no, just give me the answer. People don't always want to go through that process or that pain of figuring out the right answer. They just want an answer.
That's right. What I do find is typically executives understand that you have to explore that. But a lot of times in the, you know, in the delivery side of an organization, you'll find line managers or you know, workers or it depends on the organization with what type of role it is, but there's inevitably going to be a grouping of people that say, just tell me what you're going to do.
Yeah. Is there a metric that you wish we had a better handle on that we're not really focused on right now?
Well, you alluded to it earlier, and that's really the value performance metric, right? So this notion of what is value. And I wrote a blog post, it was probably a few months ago, it might have even been close to a year ago now, about at the end of the day, I think if we're in a for-profit business, then the ultimate question of value has to be somehow attributable to cash created. That's really hard to do, though. And so there's a lot of nebulous things that step into the mix to say, here's something that's a substitute for cash because we don't exactly understand how this relates to cash.
Yeah, and if you're going to say cash created, I want to go like, or cash not lost, or...
That's right. You know, all of that. That's
so if we didn't burn through because we wore out our employees, but it does... It seems to me like if the organization's around long enough, you should be able to say, well, you know, at this point in the project, we expected a value of X. A year afterwards, we saw a return of Y. And if you were to watch those trends for a team or a group of people, you should be able to, I mean, forecast their accuracy with prediction, I would think.
You would hope so. You know, what I find is that there's always the ideal and there's the conversation that most companies are having around that. And then there's the reality of typically gaps between exactly where cash is created and where it's received.
And whether or not the same people are there by the time the cash is received.
Right, so exactly.
Transition. Cool. All right, so people can check you out in Las Vegas. And where is the event being held? I forgot to mention that.
I think it's at Caesar's Palace.
Yeah, Caesar's Palace, Las Vegas. It's November 2nd to 6th, but you're speaking on the 5th at 9 a.m., identifying an enterprise agile scorecard. And if people want to track you down outside of the session, they can obviously go find you on Leading Agile. Check you out on Twitter at
Isaac Hogue. All one word. Go ahead.
And spell your last name just so everybody's got that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's Isaachogue.
Okay. And they can also go to activehogue.com where you put a lot of stuff up there before, some of it before, some of it after, you know, whenever you're, it's a place for you to kick ideas around on your own outside of work.
Absolutely. And if you want to find out more about Team World Vision, which I hope you do, check out teamworldvision.org.
Cool. Dude, thanks a lot for the interview. This was great. And good luck in Vegas.
Thanks. Appreciate the time.
Cool. Thanks.